As the year draws to a close, one conclusion is inescapable. Government this year has been diabolical. We've had the fiasco of Rudd and Gillard and Rudd again. Profound disappointment in New South Wales. Harch is gone, the problems remain. Brad Hazzard seems to think that some gigantic planning overhaul to accommodate someone yet to be defined, and this puts at risk little communities like Bulga, and there are plenty of Bulgas. We've seen the mining invasion, and in Queensland, Sini and Newman are full steam ahead. If you get in the way, doesn't matter. Don't worry about science. Don't worry about the precautionary principle. It doesn't exist. We'll run over the top of you. 40,000 coal seam gas wells on the Darling Downs. In the next 10 years, 10 open-cut coal mines. Wipe Ackland out of existence. It doesn't matter that you promised to protect Ackland before you were elected. That's irrelevant. The mining companies in this invasion say, well, we're going to be short of gas. You've got a loony as the Federal Education Minister McFarlane, who says, get it out of the ground. And away they go to get it out of the ground. What to do with it? Export it. Who to? Foreign countries. Who's mining it? Foreign companies. Do they pay tax here? Who knows? Does anyone ask? No. As Rod McGeoch said in a wonderful interview I did with him in relation to the little Bulga people, what do they get from Rio Tinto when Rio Tinto bullies its way across these little communities? Rod McGeoch's wonderful expression, he said, Alan, they don't even get 2 and 6. And as we've seen at Gloucester, these people get Gloucester going to Christmas time with their futures unresolved. There is, as I said, the Barry O'Farrell principle. And I said to him, well, would you like, with your wife and children, to live in a coal seam gas field? Would you like to live next to an open-cut coal mine? And if the answer's no, don't ask someone else to. If you don't want to live next to that, why should anyone else? You've got this fellow Napthine, the Premier of Victoria, a disgrace. His electorate is the electorate of the MacArthur Wind Farm, a dyed-in-the-wool disgrace. He thinks the wind turbines look nice. People are knocked over in all of this while politicians stand by, consistently, conspicuously, betraying the national interest and the well-being of the battlers and the strugglers, most of whom are just battling Australians, knocked over like pins in a bowling alley by greedy foreign interests. By the way, if you want to see what Gloucester's like, a bit of idle reading, there's a website, Rocky Hell it's called, because there's a big open-cut coal mine right on top of the town. Rocky Hell, HELL.com. Spitting distance from the community in some of the finest land in the world. RockyHell.com. I mentioned yesterday plans to build the world's largest offshore wind farm off the west coast of Britain are being scrapped. And we're told, quote, few investors are willing to stake the billions needed to build them, that's wind farms, in an environment where, quote, government subsidy is essential but uncertain. Here are all these people driving to work listening to me. Little business. They're going to open the shop. No subsidies to them. Why does the wind farm get subsidy when they're foreigners? We're talking about Holden. No more money. Qantas, no money. Why is there money for wind farms? Subsidies. Billions, not millions, billions. We've spoken to Albie Schultz and Angus Taylor and everyone. If you want to build a wind farm, go ahead, but with your own money, not taxpayers' money. Instead, Tony Abbott is facing all sorts of problems in Canberra, a twin problem, where there is a commitment already made by the morons before him about renewable energy certificates, billions of dollars going to these proponents of wind farms. And they're not Australian. They're international outfits. Thailand is one of them. China's another. And Tony Abbott's got to unwind this. Particularly tough when you've got a bloke, the Energy Minister McFarlane, in bed with the wind industry, in bed with the coal seam gas industry. And here in New South Wales, the mining and wind invasion is continuing at breakneck speed. A listener wrote to me yesterday, Alan, is Canterbury a Labor council? They'd be the only ones dumb enough, this is a listener, to invest ratepayers' money in industrial wind turbines, knowing that the carbon tax and the renewable energy target are about to be axed. And you ask yourself, what? Canterbury Council are going to reach 30% of renewable energy by 2030? Are you completely stupid out there? Who at Canterbury Council has done any homework at all? They're going to form an urban-rural wind farm partnership. Canterbury Council, run by the Labor Party. The mayor's a bloke called Brian Robson. He says, your councillors are elected to represent you. Mr. Robson, you are kidding. Is this the way ratepayers' money is to be spent? Nowhere do the local community wear this, and yet the stuff is everywhere. I've had a note from the Deputy Mayor of the Cooma Monero Council down there in the snow area. They're fighting a wind farm to be built in the Snowy Mountains, the Boko Wind Farm, Nimitabel. Beautiful place, farming country, 160 kilometres south of Canberra. It'll be developed by EGCO, Wind Prospect, General Electric. 43 turbines. Who are these people? EGCO, Thailand's biggest energy company. General Electric, the American multinational conglomerate. They're just laughing at us. They just see it come. They got dopes in Macquarie Street who give them the green flag. Wind Prospect, an international renewable energy company. This is part of the invasion. This outfit's got 20 offices in Europe, Africa and Asia. They're laughing at us. I said that on Anzac Day, an invasion. And it proves that Barry O'Farrell, Hatch or Hazard, Hazard, you are a Hazard. What is going on in the cabinet room in Macquarie Street? Michael West. Spoke to him last week, an outstanding journalist with the Sydney Morning Herald said, meanwhile, the gas producers aggressively push for coal seam gas to be expedited before the science and the prospective environmental damage have been done or properly thought through. And he highlighted the fact, remember, that the Environmental Protection Authority had produced a report on the Gloucester Basin. The report was hidden. And the Environmental Protection Authority reporting to the government what was being done at Gloucester by AGL with coal seam gas was threatening agricultural land and was high risk. But it's the same AGL that's building wind farms. The same vandals at Gloucester are at work now on wind farms. Michael West, a bright journalist with the Sydney Morning Herald, said, when it comes to coal seam gas, proper process and accountability are elusive. Well, wind is the same. Friends of Collector, 63 turbines down near their Canberra. They had a meeting. Oh, no, don't worry with the O'Farrell government. Forget the science. Forget their views. Just approve the turbines. Who owns the show at Collector? Don't you love it? They call it Ratch Australia. Ratch Australia. Who are they? 80% owned by a major Thai power-generating company. Barry O'Farrell said he'd return power to local government. Well, the local community at Collector are 99% opposed. They don't count. Then you've got the Gullen Range wind farm, currently being constructed 20 kilometres west of Goulburn, 73 wind turbines, given approval by Hatcher in 2010. It'll begin operating next year. Who runs it? Oh, it's owned by a Chinese company called Gold Wind. They're laughing at us. Soft touch. Then you've got the Bodongora wind farm, approved by the O'Farrell government in August this year. None of this goes to ICAC. 40 wind turbines. This is out Mudgee, Wellington way. They're going to build 250 at Ungulla, some as high as 194 metres, with a blade length of 65 metres. Who? Ratch Australia. Doesn't it look respectable? A Thai outfit. And it's happening in Queensland. Campbell Newman doesn't care. The Atherton Tableland. Who? Ratch Australia. Another Thai outfit. They call themselves Ratch Australia, but they're nothing Australian about these. I've got letters over and over again all this year from people living within 1.42 kilometres of industrial wind turbines, dreadful sleep, dreadful symptoms, and international research that you couldn't jump over proving the danger to health. Does Campbell Newman listen? Does O'Farrell listen? Does Napthine listen? Does Brad Hazard listen? 40 of these turbines near Wellington, 73 at Goulburn, 63 at Collector. Where are the people? Where are the people? Another one at Cooma Monero, Boko Wind Farm, 43 turbines. Then you've got Flyers Creek out near Orange. It's unbelievable. The New South Wales Department of Planning and Infrastructure have recommended approval for this thing. 20 non-hosts who don't want them are within 2 kilometres of the turbines and a local public school and 2 heritage villages and a nursing home and residents. And one resident wrote to me and said, what a blatant disregard for us. Where does this end? And then you've got these outfits peddling lies on the ABC because they're all wrapped up in their green ideology that there were no problems until someone came around and told people they should get sick. You got 2 senior health officials in New South Wales, Dr. Kerry Chant, the Chief Medical Officer, also the National Health and Medical Research Council, and a Professor Wayne Smith. Both should be sacked immediately. They've been saying there is not enough of a population impact to be worried. So ignore the problem. Then they're saying and writing to the Planning Assessment Commission, telling them there is no proof that these things are injurious to health. Quote, New South Wales Health advises, 15th of March last year, that there is currently no health evidence to support a generic 2 kilometre separation distance from a proposed wind turbine. If these people are health experts, they're a disgrace, and they should hand in their badge. There's a stack of international evidence to disprove the advice that they're giving. In Falmouth, in the United States of America recently, a judge in Massachusetts, 350 kilometres northeast of New York City, a judge ruled that two wind turbines caused, quote, irreparable physical and psychological harm to the health of neighbours. He ordered the turbines to be turned off immediately. Immediately. So there is Professor Wayne Smith betraying scholarship by peddling untruth. I spoke to Alan Watts, brilliantly credentialed, about the fraud of wind turbines. And he said the wind industry is based on greed, ignorance, subsidy and institutional deceit. He said it's propaganda towards the greedy, flatters the gullible and exploits the well-intentioned. He said the wind industry plunders our environment while enriching foreigners, all under the guise of some mythical societal benefit. He said they take our health, our land, our peace of mind and our taxes. We surrender our most precious mountains to this most gross industry, and in return they give us social chaos, environmental destruction, lies, deceit, scorn and ill health. Three premiers of Australia, Newman, O'Farrell and Napthien, let all this go ahead. And in Canberra, the jury's out. Alan Watts, Dr. Alan Watts, said to me last week, it represents not only poor science and wasteful economics, but is ignorance in defiance of truth and indifference to the welfare of Australian rural families. And as I said, if they're not injurious to health, put them in Macquarie Street. Put them on Bondi Beach.